Okay. Just to go over what we discussed last week about the Matan Torah, that we explained that the Rebbe in the Sicha leading up to Chag HaShavuos Tov Shinon Aleph, and Shabbos Parashas Nosek Tov Shinon Aleph, the Rebbe spoke about the Galus of Torah Chadasha. Anyways, in Shabbos Parashas Bahab HaKosev is the 1.5 weeks, about 1.5 weeks beforehand, before Shavuos. So the Rebbe then spoke about that the Torah was given in the Midbar, and the reason why the Torah was given in the Midbar, because a Midbar is based on a Maimah Chazal, and a Midbar is a Mokum Hefke, and that indicates that in order to receive the Torah, it depends on the individual free choice of the person if he wants to receive the Torah. And that's why the Torah was given in the Midbar. That is what the Rebbe explains in that Sicha of Parshas Bahabu Chukesai, Tov Shin Nalef, leading up to Chag HaShavuos. Now, as we discussed last week, that the Rebbe, many Sichas explains this idea of Midbar, why the Torah was given in a Midbar, based on different Maimori Chazal. This interpretation, which the Rebbe says in this Sicha of Shabbos Parshas, that because it depends on the free will of the person whether he wants to accept the Torah or not. In other words, because the Midbar is a Mokum Hefker, when something is in a Mok is Mufker, if something is Hefker, it depends on the will of the individual if he wants to take it or not. It's not like something when something is given to you as a gift, so it's handed over to you. By Hefker, the thing is the Balabos throws it out in Hefker. And then it depends on the individual if he wants to take it, to pick it and claim it, claim ownership, acquire ownership over it. That depends on the individual. So the Rebbe said the same thing with the Torah, that the Abishah threw it out over there. He didn't give it to us, didn't inherit it to us. He threw it out over there. And it depends on us and our individual free choice if we want to go and take the Torah. This is what the Rebbe explains over there in the Sikha there. So now, what we discussed last week, L'cheira, this is very, very different from what we learn normally about Matan Torah, that both in Chassidus and in Gemara, we learn that Yidden were forced to accept the Torah, Kof Aleim Har Kegiges, and that's the whole Chiddush of Purim, because Purim, they accepted the Torah from their free choice, but Matan Torah, it was by force, Kof Aleim Har Kegiges, that's what the Gemara says. And then you have Chassidus, which says that the Yidden were overcome, were consumed by Ava Rabba, which the Eibishter showered upon them, and therefore automatically they were consumed by this Ava, and therefore they received the Torah by being consumed by the Ava Rabba of the Eibishter. So here we have the Rebbe telling us, no, it was dependent on the individual free choice of the person. So L'cheira, this is very like contradictory. So we explain what's going on over here, that the Mahalach, that the Torah is a Mahalach, the way it is in Chassidus, the way it's written in Torah, it said that the Torah was given to the Yidden, not on their free choice, because of the Ab, they were consumed by this Ava Rabba, so they took the Torah, it was not from the free choice. And the Rebbe in the Sichas, throughout the years, always explains that Matan Torah was that brings out the element of Matan Torah, that it was the free choice of the Yidden. And this is, so we had the whole discussion, we explained all of this last week, that what significance does it have, the free choice of a person, when he has a mountain over his head threatening him, that if he doesn't receive the Torah, he will be crushed by the mountain. Where does the free choice of a person come to play in such a situation when you're actually being forced? How can you say the person has a free choice? And this is what the Rebbe is saying. And this is an akuta which dafka the Rebbe is mad. This whole idea of free choice by Matan Torah, b'chira by Matan Torah, b'chlal, b'chira by Matan Torah, coming from the Eibishter. That the akuta of the fact that the main mile, the main chiddush of Matan Torah was that the Eibishter chose him, is something which is brought out by the Rebbe. But even more so, the fact that the Yidden accepted the Torah from their free choice, from their own b'chira, that is something which is, all we can say, more or less, is almost a total chiddush of the Rebbe. It's based on Chazal, like everything is based on Chazal, but the Rebbe is the one who brings this out, this union of b'chira. And the question is, how does b'chira, free choice, come into play over here when you're being consumed by Ava Rabba? or as it is written in Gemara, which is easier to understand, that you have a mountain hanging over you, that if you don't accept the Torah, you're going to be crushed. Anyway, so we explained last week that in the gedder of being forced, when Yidden were forced to accept the Torah because they had a mountain over their heads, in the gedder of force, in Halacha, there's two categories in force. One way of force is when someone takes my hand and actually moves it, the guy is stronger than me and he takes hold of my hand and he moves it. So I'm like, my hand at that point is just like a tool in his hand. That's one way of force. And the other way of force is when someone tells me if I don't give in to him, if I don't obey what he says, then he is going to do such and such to me. He's going to whatever. Like what the Abish did, he took the mountain and he said, if you don't accept the Torah, I'm going to drop the mountain. So you put a guy's life at stake and you say, if you don't listen to my threat, you don't obey me, your life is at stake. So that is another way of force. Now, according to Halacha, there's no difference between the two ways. If someone takes your hand and forces you, there was almost no difference. There is some difference somewhere, doesn't make a difference. But in generally speaking, for as far as a person being free from being, he's not responsible for his actions, it doesn't make any difference. In both ways, you are considered a full owner. You are not acting on your free will, you are being forced by someone else. Nevertheless, in this situation, when according to Halacha, and not only according to Halacha, when a normal logic, when someone's life is at stake, he has a mountain hanging over his head, and the only choice he has over here is to say, I'm not going to accept the Torah and drop the mountain on me, and I'm going to give up on my life. That is the only choice. So normally speaking, according to Halacha, normal logic of a person, that would not be called free choice. You're being forced to accept the Torah. Nevertheless, there is an element of free choice because I could have chosen not to accept the Torah and have the mountain dropped on myself. That is defeats logic. Yes, it does. But nevertheless, there's an element of free choice there. And this element of free choice, which actually makes no sense because for every reason you should be given, were forced to accept the Torah, you should have accepted it. If they would have not have accepted it, their life would have been at stake. Nevertheless, this element of free choice, which is there, the Rebbe is capitalizing on it and making a whole issue and saying this is a chiddush of Matan Torah. Why? This we discussed last week. This is the element, the chiddush of Bechira, which is Rebbe is capitalizing on Matan Torah, and he's telling us this is the whole chiddush of Matan Torah, the biggest main chiddush, this Bechira. Why is that? So this is what we discussed. In our days today, the Matthias is that under normal circumstances, the situation which was there then at Matan Torah is all being played over again today. That means all the Giluyim which were there by Matan Torah were here today. Nevertheless, there is today in our situation today, when I would say today, I'm referring to from the beginning of the Rebbe's Nesiyas, which is, of course, it's come more and more clearer over the years, but this Mahalach, to bring out this point of Bechira B'Matan Torah, which really, logically speaking, makes no sense to say there was a Bechira there when they were actually forced by a mountain on top of their head, and Chazal tell us they were forced, etc., etc. And here the Rebbe is capitalizing on this element of Bechira. So this is something the Rebbe has been doing it throughout the years. What is the Nekudah? Because in our day-to-day, this element has come to the surface. Once upon a time, if you would tell someone, you should know that there's an element of Bechira when someone is being forced, when his life is at stake, there's an element of Bechira there. You tell that to someone, it would make no sense. When your life is at stake, that if you're not going to give in, one will lose their life, chas v'shalom, it's not called Bechira. In our days, the situation is that this is a Mahalach. This may sound new, but it's not new because it's there in the sikhs everywhere. The Mahalach of the Rebbe is that all the Giluyim, which were there by Matan Torah and more, let's make it very clear, all the Giluyim that were there by Matan Torah and more are here today, fully available. What the fact that these Giluyim are here and we do not align with them, or we're not even aware that they exist, what is going on over here? We are choosing to ignore them. That's what it is. We're choosing to ignore them. So our situation today in face of these Giluyim, which they are today, is similar exactly to Matan Torah when the Eibishter had the Giluyim of Avraham, but the Eibishter had a mountain on top of the head, Then in normal circumstances, when the Yidden realized that they had this mountain over their head, the Yidden realized, they recognized this Abba Rabba, so they were consumed by this Abba Rabba. They felt the threat of the mountain, so of course they accepted the Torah. That was considered force. In our days, all of this is there available today. This mountain, this deal of Abba Rabba, everything and more. Nevertheless, there is a lack of attention to realize we have this mountain over us. And therefore, the Rebbe brings out another sikhas. The result is there is there. Rebbe says all help and chatzon, but the Rebbe brings it out in other sikhas. The matzav, let's say, when you have a mountain over your head and you don't give in to the threat, then the person can drop, the mountain can be dropped on you. So this is a situation where the Rebbe does indicate in sikhas, the matzav of bekuach nefesh today, Yiddishkeit, is not an inyan ruchni. It's possible bekuach nefesh begashmis. This is something, a term the Rebbe uses. Bekuach nefesh begashmis. So the fact that we don't identify with that there is this Abba Rabba and it's being ignored, it has its effect on us. So the fact, the matzav of onus, which was there for Matan Torah, is actually there today. And therefore the element of free choice comes to play once upon a time. When they discuss this matter, this element of free choice would make no sense. That means going back throughout the years of Gilui Chassidus, let's say, to tell them that one day you should have all the Gilui of Chassidus here in Olam Zagash, the Gilui of Atzmus, everything discussed in Chassidus, you'll have it here in Olam Zagash. The obvious assumption would be that if we have all the Gilui here, then we have the Gula here. Why? Because if we see the Gilui and we get consumed by the Gilui, and we, of course, we go all tetestrol, et cetera, et cetera. The full gula will develop. Here the Rebbe is telling us, this is the mahalach of the Rebbe from all the years, that we have all the guluim. There's a lack of awareness to realize there is the guluim. So it depends on our free choice to give attention to it, to realize what the Rebbe is telling us, to realize that all these guluim, which were always promised to us throughout the years, that are going to happen in Gula Sidom, today are fully available. This is what the Rebbe is saying, kolo kolo kitzen, etc., etc. I've given everything over to you, meaning that everything is there, but is lacking our awareness to come to realize that it's there, and therefore we don't see the mountain, we don't see the Abba Rabba, because there's an element of Bechira. That is why the Rebbe is making it an issue out of this element of Bechira, which logically speaking, makes no sense at all. It doesn't make sense at all. The fact is, the reality today, that the Rebbe nevertheless makes an issue and brings it out and makes it an ikah, that the ikim, kola ikrim, the chassidus tells us about matan Torah with different geluyim. Comes the Rebbe and turns it l'cheira all over. No, he Rebbe focuses on this element of b'chira. That is where the biggest deal of matan Torah. Why? Because today, the geluyim which we discussed in chassidus are already available. The only thing which is not there yet is our b'chira to come to recognize it. So therefore, the Rebbe now comes and brings out, surfaces this element of Bechira, which was there, assumed, wasn't even discussed. It was there for Matan Torah to recognize that they have this mountain, to recognize they have the Abba Rabba, and we're missing this Bechira. Now, just to explain, how does it work to say that we have all these Giluyim and we don't recognize it? So, just to explain it, I was discussing this with, this week, I had the following last week's shiur. I had several people who were sort of telling me it doesn't go, et cetera, et cetera. So just to explain how this works, that we have the Giluyim and we don't see it. So the Nekuda is, which is also based on the same Mahala. Before we do that, we will go. Let me just leave that for later. Let's add another question first. There's two things which I was asked this week. Asked by people telling me that what I'm saying is not, whatever. So the two things, I'll just focus on both of the things. I just want to ask, is everyone with me or? Okay, no problem. So now, the first thing is the whole concept, which I keep on emphasizing, that the Gilui Lamaila of the Gula, which we're waiting for, The Gilui of the Gula Milmaila, which we're waiting for, is going to happen through us. What does it mean? So this is what we brought out in the recent Torah, last week's share also. The fact that the 770 is going to put it, just to translate it in real terms, the fact that the 770 is going to move Keheref Ayin to Mokam HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is going to happen through our Avodah, the Derech HaTeva. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen through our Avodah. And the fact it's going to happen through our Avodah, it's something you've written in all the sikhs, you're always learning it, you're just not focusing on it, we'll soon come to that. So the question that was asked to me is, the Lacheda, it doesn't make sense. How can you say this is going to happen to us, Alpiteva? It does not, through our work, Alpiteva, we're going to get Alpiteva, Sam Semte, to move Keherifayim to Yerushalayim. It doesn't really make sense. So let me just put it in perspective here. There's no such a thing, it doesn't make sense. You can say it 100 times, it doesn't make sense. You're just contradicting yourself. It's you're throwing up words, a question, without thinking what you are saying. There's no such a thing, it doesn't make sense. I just try to explain it over here, so you just understand what's going on over here. There's two nukudas here. Number one, every year knows, he goes to work, he uses his initiative and creativity to do things to accomplish. Nevertheless, if he's a frum yid, he's fully aware that everything that he accomplished with his creativity and initiative, etc., was all Hashem working through him. He attributes, he knows he's meant to attribute at least, everything to Hashem. So even though the person has been put his effort and initiative, etc., and he knows if he does not do his keli, he doesn't do his shtadlis, he will not see the results. So he knows he has to use his initiative and creativity, and he puts in all his effort. Nevertheless, he's very sure that everything is working. Everything that he accomplishes, his work, is Hashem working through him. That's number one. Fine. Number two, every chassid of the Rebbe knows this scenario we just now discussed about 770 going to Yerushalayim. Every chassid knows about it, and we all heard about it tens of times, hundreds of times. That was that it's going to go to Yerushalayim. Now, what does it mean when it's going to go to Yerushalayim? What does it mean to go to Yerushalayim? It means the Eibishter. How is he going to go to Yerushalayim? Very simple. It's not a question by a chassid. The Eibishter is kol yoch. He's above my understanding. So the Eibishter will take 770 and put and place it in Yerushalayim. So anyone who's living with the idea of the Gula and he's telling himself that, like, he's living with the vision of the Gula and he's expecting that the 770 at any moment should go to Yerushalayim, and he tells me at the same time, He cannot understand it when I say that we are going to get 770 with our initiative and our creativity. I'll be tethered 770 to go to Yerushalayim, as we explained in the last shurim, or whatever. We cannot understand that. These words make no sense. Because whoever claims he doesn't understand it, it just does not make sense. Because the person himself recognizes the fact that all his accomplishments in his regular day work, he attributes to Hashem, and that's the way it's meant to be alpitatively. He knows that. So now, when you're saying that Hashem can do it, why does it not make sense that this, you will do it, and Hashem will do it through you? Now, there's no reason why. There is no reason why. There's only one reason why. One reason why. Because all the sikhas and maimonim, which you've learned, everything you learned till now, how all your initiative and creativity is really attributed to Hashem. So you always applied it to your current situation, that well, you work, and that what you accomplish with your work is applied, is attributed to Hashem. So that is already integrated into your system. So you're aware that this is what the scissors is telling you, this is what the Torah tells you. So you identify with it and finish, so you know of it. When the Rebbe comes and tells you that 770 is going to Yerushalayim, there you do not realize that the Rebbe is telling you that you're going to do it. The fact the Rebbe is saying that you're going to do it is written everywhere. It's written everywhere. But you, for soon go to why you don't realize it, you haven't identified with that. You're still, every time you're seeing these stichas, where the Rebbe will tell you it's coming mitzad ha-tachten, where the Rebbe is completely always being repeated, Tehri Yisrael, Dirbe Tachtein, mitzad ha-tachten, it's always there. It's in all the stichas. Everything of the Gula is all Goyle in the Goyle. It's nothing new in nothing additional in Goyla, just you bringing the Aleph into Goyla, just you bringing the Eibishter into your life. All of these things, you're always learning with it, but you never, ever actually sort of, told yourself, you know, the Rebbe is actually saying that it's coming through us. Now, even though it's written there, it's all there everywhere. You never told it to yourself. So when it comes to that, the fact that your panosa, everything is coming attributed to Hashem. So yeah, of course it makes sense to you. And you know this is the right way to think about it. When it comes to this, you never thought of it that way. So therefore you're telling me it doesn't make sense. It is no reason that this should make sense and that doesn't make it. There's no reason at all. It's just we never identified it as such. Now.
Wait, hold on 1 second. It could be that there's certain things that are within our capacity to do with Hashem's help, obviously. And then there's some things that is this time that we're waiting for that, you know, there's going to be these nisim that are l'mayel mi'ateva that are going to happen as a reward for our, you know, avodah and goals.
So I'll be sure. If you ask me hypothetically, there could be such a thing. There could be such a thing. But in Torah, the Rebbe says, let's say, we don't find such a thing. I mean, it doesn't mean we don't find. The Rebbe should say that didah v'tachtonim coming from your avodah or Torah v'Yisrael or anything what the Rebbe says, that Yidin are not an Emtsoyi, all of these things that the Rebbe says, we don't find the Rebbe says it applying to a specific situation, no? It doesn't make sense that the Rebbe would be saying it to a specific situation. We don't find it. You want to tell me, maybe it applies to that, and maybe it doesn't apply to that, but there has to be, it doesn't say that anywhere.
There's the tekufas, let's
understand it here. When we talk about Gilei Atzmus, what the Rebbe is, this is basically what the Rebbe is telling us, we have to get it very straight. Yes, the Rebbe has told us kufas, and there's golas and there's gula. Well, why do we have to talk about kufas of gula? Let's go straight. Let's go even further. There's golas and gula. We're still in golas. Nevertheless, the Rebbe has told us there is no difference between golas and gula other than our perception of realizing the aleph that there is in the gula. There is no. So of course, and this goes in. It's then all the sifras in the base and this mahalak. When we're talking about the whole discussion, we have it that the Rebbe is saying the gilei atzmus is here. That includes all the kufas. So there's none of these kufas. Because if we're talking about kufas, then we wouldn't say that we're in gula, that we can bring the gula into gulas. Because according to this idea of kufas, gulas and gula are two separate categories. More than the distance of the kufas, one from each other, is gulas and gula. Gulas and gula are two opposites. And nevertheless, the Rebbe is telling us that the mechitza that exists between gulas and gula does not stand in our way. So these kufas also don't stand in our way. To put it like taking the words of the Alter Rebbe, the Ebishter gave us in Gilei Achsidus, the Eved the Kesa HaMelech. So all of this falls away. Yes, when you discuss the Rambam, the Rebbe is going to tell us Kufas. When we come to the Teres Achsidus, the Rebbe tells us the Gula starts right away with Anhog and Nithis. And then the Rebbe went even further to say, that's the Psakin of Teres Achsidus. The Rebbe went further to say, this is already the Rebbe's Mahalach. The Gula and the Golas are not two separate entities. That by we can overcome the difference, the gap between golos and gulos, and none of this exists. And it's very clear. We talk about nekudas ha'atzmus. The Rebbe is saying they're given that we are there. The nekudas ha'atzmus. We have the aleph. There's not shy of any tkufa. It just depends. The tkufa will depend how much we individually bring out in ourselves, etc. There's no such a thing. So none of that exists. You want to say that refers to this, refers to that. The person has a period to say anything, but the Rebbe's period clearly doesn't exist. So it's not. So the logic in saying that this yes and this not doesn't exist at all. Now, why do we not recognize when the Rebbe is saying these words, which is quite important. I tried explaining it on the recordings I sent. I don't know how well I explained myself, etc., whatever. We're just trying to bring it out over here. Why is it so? Why don't we identify when the Rebbe is saying, for instance, this thing, that everything, that when the Rebbe is telling us, the only thing is that these were the best example we were using all along. The fact that 770 is going to go to Rosh Chodesh is going to happen al pi teva. And this thing that's going to happen al pi teva, this is a mahalach of the Rebbe. This is the chiddush of the Rebbe. When the Rebbe brings out that the gil l'rekus is dafki in the teva. So it's how can one conceive that this thing of 770 is going to go out to Rosh Chodesh is not going to be al pi teva. You're talking about the gilia atzim, the shleim, the gil of a gula. Someone should conceive this idea that it's not Alpiteva. When the Rebbe has explained us that Gilei Elokus is Dafkit Alpiteva. I mean, all of these things are this whole Mahalach Moshava of saying that it's not Alpiteva. It's not going to be us. Poshet is contradicts everything we're learning always. It always contradicts everything. So it never, it's, and there, We just never realize we never applied our sense to hear what we're saying, to realize what we're saying. It contradicts the whole idea of Dira B'Tachtanim, everything. The whole of the reason why 770 is going to Rish Lion, because it has to come from Mokam HaTacht, and it has to come from the Mata. That's the whole reason behind it. And to go on to say it's going to come from the Mata, not from the Mata, is Poshut Astirim and Neobe. All of this is contradiction. It just makes no sense at all. It's just our lack of initiative to hear, to push to identify with what we're saying. There's nothing behind it. But just to explain why we don't realize when the Rebbe is saying this in the Sichas after Sichas, we have this in Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, where, by the way, the point which you just now brought up in Nun Aleph Beis, Rebbe explains clearly that the Gilei Atzmus that we are referring to, but the Gilei of Atzmus which the Rebbe is referring to in our days that is available to us today, is not limited to Gula, not limited to Kufis and Gula. It's above all of that. This is very clearly in the Sichas of Nun Aleph.
It could be the 770 moving could be Bederech, you know, first of all, Derech Siba as a result of our Avodah in Gullis. And secondly, it could be
By the way, for sure, you have to use the same logic you apply to anything you do in your own life to what you're saying just now. This is going to be through the cause of our void in Zman HaGola, right? How is it going to happen that leap through us or not? If you're telling me that the whole buildup of the whole Golas was in order that it should be through our Veda, the actual Gula, this is actually what the general Mahalach Machshove is over here, the actual Gula, everything falls away. Dira B'Tachtanim falls away, Chabad falls away, everything falls away. There is all coming from above. There's no greater contradiction than that. And the fact is that there's no greater thing which is disturbing us, that we're taking everything when it comes to the Shleimus HaGilui of Dira B'Tachtanim, the Shleimus Gilui of Atmos, the Shleimus Gilui of Siddhas. We're telling ourselves everything contrary to what we have learned all the years, just because we have not set our thinking straight. It doesn't make sense. You're saying it's coming through the Golas, and how is it going to happen? In a way which supersedes any aspect of Golas, it's going to go Nimnam and Nois to Yerushalayim. It doesn't make sense. If it's coming through our void of Golas, that means that is us doing it. It doesn't, it's a play of words. If it's coming through our void of Golas, it means we're going to do it. How does another element interfere? We're saying it's coming through our Veda. So where did this external element of some element of Elikus, which we don't recognize, and that is going to do it? It's contradiction within itself. And we're living with these contradictions. And we're living with it. And, you know, we're sure it's all coming from our Poshet, which we want to get to the point of it, to explain what's going on over here. It's all coming from that. And that is being assumed as the right thing. And it appears in all our Veda of appreciating the Gula, appreciating what we have in our hands, to bring in ourselves the Gula. When we realize that it's all in our court, it gives us ability to actually, to move in ourselves, realizing that it's really us. What the Rebbe has been telling us, that everything which you always learn coming from above is really in us, really brings out the best of ourselves. So we're depriving ourselves from this opportunity by telling us it's coming from above. We're just taking the whole message of the Torah, the whole message of the Gula, and twisting it away from ourselves. It really doesn't, there's no sense, there's nothing there behind. Anyways, is that fine? Anyway, okay. So, just explain why we don't hear it. When, just to put it in words, why we come when we learn the sikhs of the Rebbe, we're learning of the Rebbe telling us all these sikhs about, almost in every sikh, and almost every maimon, about the chibur ha'hopkin. It's there the whole time. How comes we don't catch it? So the teret is quite poshut. This is why I tried to put in the recording. I don't know how well I explained it. When you're talking about the Eibishter, so you're talking about some unknown entity. Shlilas hachiyav and shlilas hashlili. You're talking about the Eibishter. So you can attribute what you want to the Eibishter. Fine. That is, you're talking about something which has a certain identification to itself. What is it then? Identification? It's not me. So you attribute everything to this entity, which is not me. That's Atzmus Mahus, the Eibishter, who's the shlilas hachiyav and shlilas hashlili. You attribute everything to him. Wonderful. So everything can go. when it comes to the Rebbe's vault, when the Rebbe's telling us that everything, the Shlilus HaChiyuv, the Shlilus HaShlilus, everything of Teiras of Tzitzis is already available. The only thing missing is that we should choose to recognize the fact that it is already available. So now here comes this whole Mahalach of the Rebbe, where instead of talking about one entity, about the Eibishter, etc., instead of talking about that, the Rebbe has his own terminology. What is the Rebbe's terminology? Chibur HaHopchim. What's the idea of Chibur HaHopchim? Now when we talk about Atzmus, we're not talking about this unknown entity, which is Einel Mulvade, etc. There's no entity, no individual entity here. Here Atzmus gets his new interpretation that say, he's a combination of two, like the Rebbe's Mustik, the Mustik of the Rebbe, Shutfim, or Chibur HaHopchim, all these different things you have in the Rebbe's Sichas, etc. What is the idea? Here the Rebbe's telling us, no, there's no entity which I can sort of imagine in my head that he has it all. No, it doesn't work. There's two things. There's me and the Eibishter. There's two things. There's the Yesh HaTigashmi and the Eibishter. These two things, this is what I can recognize. Two things. Then then by realizing that these two things are one, me and the Eibishter are one, that awareness that me and the Eibishter is one, that is the Eibishter. Now, so here we're not talking about an unknown entity of any Mavade. We're talking about two things, me or the Yesh HaGashmi and the Eibishter. This Yesh HaGashmi, not because this Yesh HaGashmi is bottled to the Eibishter. No, we're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about this Yesh HaGashmi as a Metzius. This Yesh HaGashmi, as I see it as a Metzius, is one with the Eibishter. So now we're taking two things. We're taking the Yesh HaGashmi, how I see it. I see it as an independent existence for itself. And the Rebbe is telling us now come to realize, Kibbutz HaHopchim, that this Yesh HaGashmi, the Eibishter is one. Or, me, as I know myself as a Metzius for myself, a limited Mugbul, the Metzius, come to realize that you and the Eibishter are one. So how do I come to recognize the Eibishter? By recognizing two. The only thing which I recognize is two. There's no Eibishter, Einet Movadi, that I can sort of imagine in my mind or identify with in my mind. No. There's two things. There's me and the Eibishter. Now, once I recognize these two, I know these two things, I'm aware that these two things are one. So now here comes the point. Because there's no one thing, it's just two things. To come to recognize the two things are one requires my initiative to want to recognize it. As long as someone is telling me something else is Einod, is Kol Yochel, all will go. When someone thing is telling me, if someone is going to tell me these two things are one, I'm going to have to figure in my mind something which I cannot identify with that these two things are one. So therefore, it requires my b'chira, what we're discussing all along. When you say by Atzmus, when we talk and by Matan Torah, Gilui Atzmus, we're talking about the revelation of the Eibishter. The revelation of the Eibishter came and he consumed it, and etc., etc. So we're talking about the Eibishter. In our days, we come to surface the fact that you can have the Gilui of the Atzmus, of the Eibishter, and we do not recognize it. So now the Rebbe is telling us, spelling it out further, something which was not discussed, that two things, there's me, I recognize myself, and there's the Eibishter, I recognize, and these two things are one. For me to come to recognize that these two things are one, it requires, there's only two things there. To realize that they're both one requires my identification, which is what is being told to me. It requires my b'chira, which we're discussing by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, the b'chira was there. In our days, this b'chira, to hear what the Rebbe is telling us, the Rebbe is telling us all these years, this is the mahalach of the Rebbe, the Atzmus is Chibur HaHopchim, not Ligvol, not this, not that, not Shlilus HaChiyuv and Shlilus HaShlilus, no, Chibur HaHopchim. So therefore, when we talk about the two Hopchim, to realize the Chibur, the fact that these two Hopchim, the two entities, the Eibishter and me, is one, it requires my understanding. So what happened? When I take a sikh of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe explains to me, the koich of Atzmus, etc. The Rebbe explains everything. So it all goes, I take it. The Rebbe tells everything about Atzmus, the koich of Atzmus is beautiful. The next sikh, or the same sikh, when the Rebbe is going to explain that this Atzmus, how it plays out in me, and the Rebbe is going to spell it out. So remember, there's always two entities here. You cannot, the Gashmis, it's not possible to say both the both parts of the sikha of these two sikhas, one talking about atmos and one talking about atmos plays out of me, it's not possible to say it in one word. It's two separate sikhas or two halves of a sikha or two paragraphs of a sikha. So here the Rebbe is telling us about, he's going to tell us about the koyach atmos per yachol. Then the Rebbe is going to spell it out how it plays in me. Then you have another sikha where the Rebbe is going to tell us you should know the elyon and the tachton is all one, which is all then the chibra hopkim, it's all one. So you have everything is spelled out in the sikha. The Rebbe is telling you about the koyach atmos has no limit. He comes and tells you how it plays out in our matias. Then he comes and tells us the elyon and the tachton are all mechuber. All of these things are spelled out. What happens is when I learn about the sikha, the part of the Rebbe is telling us about atmos, fine. I know this mahalik, I know from Chassidus, it talks about atmos, per yachol, er and stuff. Fine, the Rebbe tells us the same thing about atmos, maybe even more mufflatik, but let's do it. There's something which we are aware of from Teres Chassidus. When the Rebbe in that sikha or another sikha will come and explain us how this atmos actually plays out in ourselves, I am now going where we normally will happen. I, with my mahalik, I'm golos, is going to interpret, yes, when the Rebbe is talking about in me, it means in some limited sense. This comes me because this is my initiative being put in what I'm learning in the Sikha. Or when the Rebbe tells us that there's Chibur HaHopkum of the Elyon and the Tachton, I will not take it to its full limit. If the Rebbe is telling me the Chibur HaHopkum of Elyon and Tachton, or the Rebbe is telling me the Aleph, bring the Aleph in Goyle, that comes Gula. There's no other way of understanding this other than realizing that the whole Atmos is now available to us in Gula. And our realization of the fact that Atmos is now available to us, that itself is a Gula. There's no understanding because it's really spelled out in the Sichas of the Rebbe very well. What I will do is I will take the Aleph, the Eibishter, I will accept. The fact that it applies to me, and remember, again, we're talking about two elements and I have to come to realize what is being written in the Sikha. The Rebbe is telling us these two elements are one. These two elements are one. The Atmos and me is one. I will take the Atmos literally. I'll take myself, my own, my involvement. I'll take it. That's not literally. So therefore, it requires always, because we're talking about two things, and the two things is what I can recognize. I can recognize myself. I can recognize the Eibishter. To recognize that these two things are one is what the Rambam says. It's built in Metzias Nimsa. It's something unidentifiable. It requires that I should actually recognize that this is what the Rebbe is telling me. So therefore, this is where we can sort of, we don't have our involvement. We don't have that what was there by Matan Torah, the Bechira, to recognize that the Eibishter was speaking to us. Or the Rebbe is giving us the Eibishter. There's lacking my realization to be aware that the Rebbe is giving us a whole Eibishter. I sort of tell myself the Rebbe is giving us some part of the Eibishter, not a whole part, whatever. These are things I'm telling myself. So therefore, I don't identify with it. But there's no way of telling the full message of the Rebbe without saying two points. Discussing the Eibishter and then discussing you. There's two things here. And I have to realize that obviously the Rebbe tells me this is what Atmos is. And the Rebbe is telling me that Atmos is in me, in my... So obviously it means that the Rebbe spells it out, explains us how in my avoider I bring out this Atmos. So obviously it means that everything which is there in Atmos is in me. But I sort of, that requires my initiative to give attention, to actually go away from my innate thinking and try to realize what the Rebbe is saying. So that's where I may lose out and not connect. Does this make sense to anyone? This is why, because the fact is, this concept, the Atmos is there in Chibur HaHopkin, and the Gilui Atmos is Dafkin in Teva, is all there in all the Sikhas, it's always being learned, it's there in all the Mamorim, it's there the whole time, it's what you're always learning. It's constantly there, just requires to realize this is what is being said. Once one realizes this is what's being said, you become to see the thing becomes, it develops more and more. The reason why I'm bringing all of that, this is because it's related to what we discussed last week, but also I had a lot of people telling me that this whole idea of saying that the Gila Atmos is going to come through us, sort of they never heard about it. So it's there written in all the 40 years we're hearing from the Rebbe's Torah, it's written there all along. And, you know, it requires one thing. If someone, as long as we're not going to try to realize that the Rebbe is giving us a mandate, and the Rebbe has told us that it's available to us, and he doesn't understand, et cetera, we do not realize that we have to sort of move in our thinking. We have to have this bechira, which had by Matan Torah, to recognize that the Eibishter is speaking to them, etc. As long as we don't have this initiative that we should move in our own self, there is no way this is a whole vault. There is no way that this, we will ever come to recognize it. And this is a vault of the Rebbe that he doesn't understand why the Eibishter does not give us the initiative that we should choose. It's not that Abish is going to sort of impose some revelation on us, and through that the Guru is going to come. No, the Guru is going to come, that the Abish should give us this initiative that we should want to choose to identify with that, what the Rebbe is saying. When we will identify with that, with the Rebbe is saying, that is the Guru. So the whole Guru is here, it's just missing the element of our Bechira. The time of the tefillah of the Rebbe, the Admosai, to the Abish is, the Rebbe's tefillah to the Abish, Admosai is, that the Abish should initiate that we should choose to recognize it. Now this idea that the Rebbe's tefillah to the Abish is, that he should get us to choose, is there fully available in all the stichos of the Rebbe? This is what the Rebbe is saying. The Rebbe is telling us about the Abish affecting us. The Rebbe does not explain it. The Abish is affecting us as something from the outside which is affecting us. No, the Abish is affecting us. The way the Rebbe explains it is, the way the Shleimus Sagilu is, when the Abish affects our Bechira to choose to recognize that what the Abish has given us. That is what the Abish is affecting us. So this is the Mahalach of the Rebbe. This is then all the Sikhs. Just, the only thing is to come aware that Rebbe is saying he's giving us a message, and if we, and for some reason, the message is not being fulfilled, we have to come to realize that this is what is missing. That we should choose to recognize that there is something missing here. Try to identify what it is. Explain it to ourselves. And then as we discussed in the previous shurim, this message happens to be easier to explain than any other message any other message we want to explain to other people. This is the most simplest message. It's the only message you can go across to everybody in the world. It can be told to any goy. It's very simple. You just tell the goy in his level very clearly, which is in very, very simple words. The whole message here is nothing, it's not a musig move, it's not abstract at all, not like anything else of gula. When we're identifying with gula, something coming from above, something unknown coming from above, that way of identifying with gula is not exactly the mahalach which the Rebbe sort of has been educating us. And the way that the Rebbe is being educating us, that the gula is coming through us, is something which can be explained simply to anybody. No one will ever turn it down. You're basically telling the person that you have the opportunity to help yourself. This is what you're telling the person, that you, doing your running your normal life in your normal situation, just being aware that today, that if you will follow Hashem, whether you're a goy or a yid, do your Sheva Mitzvah Neinoyach. Once upon a time, there were good people who did good things, and they did not see the results. Today, if you do, you'll follow through with what the Abish wants, you will see improvement in your life. From that improvement, the fact that a person has an attitude, a change of attitude, that he can help himself, that is Gilui HaAtzmus, and that is the whole Gula. The more the person gets to learn about it, the more the person will understand it and appreciate it. But then, Akudus HaInyan of Gilui HaAtzmus, which the Rebbe's been telling us, which boils down to the fact, as we said before, that we come to realize that we, the Lubavitchers, who know the Rebbe's full message, should realize this is what the Rebbe's saying is, that moves to the Shlaim Al-Fiteva through our Aveda, because our Gilei Atzmus is all through us, can be told to every simple person. You tell him on his level that he and his Aveda can help himself. This is a message which is so easy, which is a message which is cannot be refused by anyone, and this is the message of the Rebbe. We just require that we should come to realize that the Rebbe has taken Taylor's sins and given it to us. And the fact that we are still identifying with the Gula as something coming from above is actually interfering our ability to convey the message of the Rebbe to ourselves, our children, whatever. It's interfering everything, but we're taking the Rebbe's message on the Mahalach of Deira Shishi, etc., not on the Mahalach of the Rebbe. The Rebbe told us that the Gilui of Deira Shishi has already been given to us. The only thing missing is our Bechira to realize that we can today help ourselves. So this is basically it, which is the most simplest message. It just needs us, Siddim, who are into Siddis, into Giluim, to sort of realize that the Rebbe is telling us that the union of Gula is not Giluim. It's something which you can explain to yet every Ben Chomis Lamikra, which is the simplest thing. It's the most simple thing. It's just we ourselves are getting in our own way. Is this understood? Is this fine to be sure?
Yeah, it's good. It's very good.
Now, do we finish here? Do you want to finish? Shall we finish here? Maybe this is.
We didn't get to the Sinyan, so maybe we should. Because we spoke about a different.
I've said that we're going to learn about Kitzim. We didn't get to it. I don't even want to start with it. It's getting a bit late. I don't even want to keep on. I don't mind. I will go on another bit. It's up to you. I can start it up. You want to stop?
I mean, for me, I gotta.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I think we'll finish. We'll leave it. We'll come back.
All right.
Time. No problem. Okay. Thank you again. Be well. Hold on. Yeah. Fine. Anyone wants to ask any questions? I'm available. Okay, all the best. Kol tov.
It's beautiful.
I'm sorry?
It was beautiful.
I don't understand what you're saying.
It was very clear.
Oh.
Great. Fine.
Thank you. But if there has to be a question, I can't believe that the whole shaking go through without any questions. There must be a question. I feel that these people are reluctant to express their questions, but I'm sure there is some question somewhere. No? Just making a suggestion. Okay. All the best. Good night. Thank you very much and good night.
Could ask a question.
Yes, please. Oh, great. Good
okay. Question. Well, how do we do this though? How do we turn our thoughts around?
I'm sorry?
How do we turn our thoughts around to be able to see, to be able to behave in a way that
I don't know. We've gone through this a lot of times. The truth is, the bottom line of all of this is very, very simple. The nakuda here is that opportunity is available to us. In other words, that let's take to the very bottom line that me as a very simple guy, or let's take someone like a goy in the street, a goy who is whatever it is, you take the Rebbe of Nakuda, when you're saying Gilei Atzmus, when you talk about Gilei Atzmus, it's something which everybody can relate to, because it has no dimension to it. The only dimension it has to itself, the fact that it's related to me. That's because Atzmus is everything that's related to me. So now what that means for the person is that once upon a time, if let's say person knows he's not been leading a good life, and what is my opportunity of changing my ways and improving my life? So once upon a time, a person wanted to do the right thing. He may have tried to do the right thing, and he may have even done the right thing. He may start to do the right thing, but nevertheless, it won't work. Why? Because, you know, there's many good people. We have big tzaddikim who did the very good thing. They did wonderful good things, and they ended that by going al meikah the age. They had to give up their lives on whatever. They were burnt to death, Rahman al-Islam, because of the good things, because of the Yiddish guy that they were aligning with. So once upon a time, doing good didn't always mean that I would see the results. The vote of the Rebbe is that today, yes, we're still in Golas, but Atzmus Mehus, who's above Golas and above Gula, that means Golas and Gula both come from him, that Atzmus Mehus is available because he created Golas and Gula. Therefore, he is also available to us in Golas. Just once upon a time, which we'll not go into now, it was hard for us to identify with this Atmos. Let's not go into it now. Today, every person can identify with this Atmos. Why? Do what he wants. You will see the effect on your life. Now, that is what it is. Now, how much good I have to do, however much good I'm going to do, I'm going to see the effect. If all of us will do good, he will have the full revelation of the Gula. So now, not to answer all the questions which there are in this, but to one point, the very, very common question. If I tell myself or I tell somebody else, you know, if I will see good, I will do good, I will see the result. Unlike the time of the past when someone did good and not necessarily he would see the result. He may have seen the results in Elam Haba, et cetera, he wouldn't necessarily see the results in his life. Today the Rebbe is telling us, yes, there is no interference at all. Just that we should come to realize, the only interference is that we should come to realize that we have the opportunity to improve our lives, to make things better for ourselves. That is the only interference. So therefore today when we will do good, we will receive the result. But the question rises right away, what happens if I don't? And that is the answer to the question is, just get over it. It's not going to happen. If it doesn't work, you're not doing it. So if that is like in very harsh terms, but basically what it means is when a person has awareness, he comes to realize that the Rebbe is teaching us all the years that it is available to us. This is what the Torah is telling us. When I realize that this is what the Rebbe is telling us, I will begin to identify that this is what it really means. And what does it really mean? Something very simple. That I will actually see the effect of what I am doing. When a person realizes it, he will see the effect. And this, they will see, yes, nothing will change. And remember, all of this is going to happen again, all in the channels of Teva. We're not talking, remember, Yilya Atmos is in the channels of Teva, not something which is above Teva. So we're talking about being the same normal person, the same interaction with everybody, just having this awareness that I can overcome my challenges. I can overcome the different things, obstacles that I can overcome. It may take time to educate myself, to become fully aware that this is what the Rebbe is telling me. And there's no end to this awareness. There's no end to the aliyahs which they exist in Gula. So this awareness that I can help myself, that is the Gula. That is the Gula of how Moshe Rabbeinu discussed it. That is the Gula of how the Rambam discussed it. That is the Gula of how it's written everywhere. Gula is, it's going to be a opportunity, it's going to be a time when you will be able to help themselves. That's what the Gula is. Apichuta Shemikra. This is what the Rebbe is telling us today. Realizing this, the first fact is to realize this is what the Rebbe is telling us. No, this is what the Rebbe is telling us. When I realize this is what the Rebbe is telling us, I will accept it, like accept anything from the Rebbe. And then I will see it through. You will see, and the more the person sees, the more the person will continue and escalate in his avoid of actually bringing Gula into his life. Does that help? Does that help?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. All the best. Thank you very much. All the best. Yeah. Okay.